Kondo, the magician. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Wednesday and every weekday evening, the makers of White King granulated soap bring you the thrilling story of Chandu, the magician. But before our tale of magic and mystery resumes, may we say a word about the magic rule of three for washing dishes. If you believe, as many thousands of homemakers do, that nothing equals rich, thick, sudsy soap suds for washing dishes three times a day, remember these three things. First, you want a soap that makes plenty of rich, thick suds. White King is the soap for suds. Every tiny granule of soap goes to work making suds. And those White King suds stand up in water that feels comfortable to your hands. Second, you want a soap that washes dishes sparkling bright. When you follow a White King dishwashing with a hot water rinse, your dishes are left so very clean, so very bright, you can dry them in a jiffy. And third, you want a soap that is easy on your hands. Those gentle White King suds are wonderfully kind to pretty hands. For washing clothes or dishes, we know you'll love the soap we make. Yes, you'll love White King. As the yogi had foretold months ago in Tibet, Frank Chandler has been forced to make use of all his occult powers to defeat the plan of world conquest devised by the sinister Roxor, with the tiny Balkan country of Montevania as its first victim. And to Nicholas Karowitz has been restored the throne of his ancestors. But meanwhile, Dorothy, Betty, and Bob have left for Paris after receiving two disturbing letters from Robert Regent, one known to be only a clever imitation of his handwriting. Now it is the following morning in Paris. Dorothy is in the sitting room of their hotel suite, telephoning to Chandler in Montevania. Chandu, the magician.
So then I went to the chemist shop, you know, on the ground floor under Robert's laboratory.
Yes?
It was closed.
Closed?
Yes. I spoke to the man who has the little cafe next door. He's been sending Robert's meals in.
I know.
Frank, he said there'd been nobody in the chemist shop for more than a week.
Good Lord.
That's what he said. And you know how curious people like that are about their neighbors. What shall I do, Frank?
Tell me, Dot, do you still have that letter from Robert?
Of course I have. Don't you think I'd better go to the American Embassy?
No, not yet.
I can't just sit here.
I'll be with you as soon as I can.
Well, but...
I'll take the train this afternoon.
But, Frank...
Just don't let that letter get out of your hands. Goodbye, Dot.
Goodbye.
No soap on going to the embassy, huh, Mom?
No. Oh. Uncle Frank will be here tomorrow morning. I'm going to look at that letter again.
That was supposed to be from Daddy? You've already looked at it a million times, Mother.
But Uncle Frank seemed to think... Get it for me, will you, dear? It's in the pocket of my jacket.
I'll be glad when we can get out and buy some clothes. The hotel people looked at us as if they thought we were crazy. Wandering in with no coat and not even any handbag.
So what? For a minute, I thought you were going into a thing about the fire.
Oh. Here's the letter, Mother.
Thank you, dear. We'll get some clothes today if we can.
I was surprised that the hotel even sent the cable for you.
Well, I hope the bank at home will get off the dime and send us some money quick.
But they won't be open for hours yet. It's the middle of the night in California. No, let's see.
Did Uncle Frank think there might be a clue about Daddy in the letter?
Oh, a clue. You and Dick Tracy.
Bob, you needn't bite my head off just because you're worried about Daddy. You're not the only one.
I know it. I'm sorry, Betts.
Even if I could believe he'd written it, he'd never tell me a thing like that in a letter. He's always so careful. And anyway...
A thing like what, Mom? Do you know you never showed us the letter?
Well, he says... It may be necessary for me to leave here for a few days. Don't be alarmed if you don't hear from me. I'm sure someone has discovered where I am working. And listen to this.
Give my love to Bob and Elizabeth.
Elizabeth?
Huh?
Yes. That alone would be enough to tell me it isn't from him. He never called you Elizabeth in his life.
It isn't my name. Or was it in the first place?
Certainly not, darling. You looked like Betty to me the moment I saw you. Daddy thought you were the most wonderful baby ever born. Of course, he thought that about Bob, too, the year before.
Maybe he thought we were the same baby. He's pretty unnoticing.
Oh, no, he didn't. And then he had to miss being with both of you all the time you were growing up.
That's just what he said in my letter. I know that was from him.
Oh, where can he have gone?
Uncle Frank will find him for us.
I wish he was here. Oh, that may be Mr. Shoday. Hello? Yes? Oh, yes, I'm glad you did. Thank you. Nodgy's on her way up.
For Pete's sake, how did she get to Paris so fast?
Well, she left Le Beau the afternoon of the fire, Bob.
Listen, Betty, before she comes, don't say anything to her about Uncle Frank as you usually do.
You mean kidding her about him? Oh, she doesn't mind. I know she doesn't, Mother.
Well, there's no time to discuss it. Just remember, dear.
What did I tell you, Beth?
About what?
All that stuff about Nodgy and Uncle Frank. It's just like I told you, Uncle...
There she is now. Come in, Nodgy.
This is a most inconvenient hour for me to walk in on you, I know.
It's not at all inconvenient. You know we're always glad to see you.
As you see, I'm returning your coat.
I'll take it, Nodgy, and hang it up in the wardrobe. In solitary splendor.
Why, Nodgy, you've got your own clothes.
I left my luggage at my hotel when I went to Lubova.
That's one good thing anyway. Sit over here, Nodgy.
Have you had breakfast?
Yes. Thank you, Dorothy.
Well, how'd you get through the blizzard anyway, Nodgy?
Oh, my gypsy friends knew the Romany Trail. We had passed the mountain valleys before the snow was deep. From the border, I came by the train.
In that gypsy dress?
People stared at me, but that was to be expected. With all those petticoats, I was warmer than they.
The trains are sure cold over here.
Well, there's no coal to heat them this winter.
Dorothy, there's something I must say to you.
Oh, children, you go into Betty's room for a few minutes, will you?
Oh, sure. And can we order something else to eat? Those brioches are just like eating air.
I'm still hungry, too.
Well, order whatever you like. I'll call you in a little while.
Bob, let's have them send up a big pot of hot chocolate.
Bacon and eggs for me.
What is it, Nodgy? Are you going back to Cairo at once?
No, but I will not be in Paris when Chandu comes.
Oh?
Dorothy, there is something you can do for me.
But he'll be here tomorrow morning, Nodgy.
I cannot speak of it to him. It is useless.
Oh, tell me what it is. You know I'll do it if I can.
He will listen to you. You must insist.
I'll do my best, Nodgy.
In Lubova, at the castle before the fire, Chandu was angry. Because there's a thing I may not tell him.
He wasn't angry very long. The first thing he said when the fire broke out was, "Where's Nodgy?"
Oh, naturally he would not see me lose my life in that fire. I could have told him how little it mattered.
How can you say that?
Because of what I know. Dorothy, you must convince Chandu I can never marry him.
No, Nodgy. You spoke to me about this once before. Don't you remember? In Cairo?
Oh, yes.
When we saw the picture in the blue flame? You said then that if you married him, the work of his life would be destroyed.
It was true.
But it isn't. Since then, he's done exactly what he was sent to the Balkans to do, in spite of everything. Roxor, even Dmitri with that awful black magic.
Dmitri is not finished.
Oh, yes, he is. But anyway, why should that make any difference? Dmitri has nothing to do with your marrying Frank.
He will tell him. And then I could never see Chandu again.
I told you before what I think about that.
Oh, I cannot make you understand.
Nodgy, if Dmitri knows anything about you and is holding it over your head, threatening to tell Frank, there's only one thing for you to do.
You mean I have to tell him myself?
Certain.
That is what Chandu has said. But I cannot.
It can't be half as dreadful as you seem to think.
It is the most dreadful thing in the world. In 1,000 lifetimes, there has been nothing worse.
1,000 lifetimes? Why, that's what the yogi said.
He said that to Chandu? Of me?
Well, I don't know. Frank did, though.
He said it was a quotation from ancient Sanskrit. Oh, but it can't be about you or he'd know what you're talking about. And he doesn't. Not
Dorothy. Dorothy, you are married to a man you love. But if before you had married him, you had known that in your past life there was a thing which could... Oh, what is your word? Which could make all his future life wasted and dead. Would you have married him?
Well, I don't know.
You cannot even imagine such a thing.
But I'll tell you what I think. Frank loves you. He has a right to know, whatever it is. Why not let him decide after he's heard?
No. Oh, no, I cannot.
I can't imagine you doing anything so terrible as all this. Frank's not a boy. He'll understand.
Oh, it is useless. As I should have known it would be. Perhaps when I have spoken with a yogi.
The yogi? Is that where you're going?
I thought I told you.
But he was in Tibet when Frank saw him last. You can't go there.
There will be a way. Say goodbye to Betty and Bob for me, Dorothy.
Oh, please don't go, Najee.
I must.
Oh, wait, Najee. Listen, why don't you come home with us to California for a while? As soon as Robert finishes his work here. Oh, wait a moment until I answer that.
If it is written, you and I will meet again.
Najee, wait. Hello?
Goodbye, Dorothy.
Oh. Hello?
Dorothy.
Robert?
I have only a moment. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Where are you?
The experiment was successful.
The experiment? But Frank's not here now, but I'll tell him as soon as he comes.
Tell him to see Pierre Duval of the foreign office.
Well, all right, but why don't you come here to the hotel?
I must go now, Dorothy.
Robert! Robert, where are you now? Where are you?
And now, before we say goodnight, Shandu the magician has an exciting gift for all you ladies listening. The gift of a helpful wash book, prepared for you by the makers of White King Soap. The name of this book is Washing Made Easy, and it is yours for the asking in exchange for just one White King Soap box top. Washing Made Easy is written just like a cookbook. It gives you rules and recipes for every type of wash day problem. It tells you exactly how much soap to use, how to overcome hard water problems, how to use and care for your automatic washing machine. And now this White King Wash Book is yours as a gift from Chandu the Magician in exchange for one White King Soap box top mailed to Chandu, Los Angeles 21. If you are having any wash day problems, send in the questions you would like answered by White King's staff of wash day experts. Mail in your questions and your White King soap box top to Chandu, Los Angeles 21. And remember, nothing washes like soap, and there's no soap like White King. Chandu the Magician is presented for your enjoyment every weekday evening. Dorothy Regent is played by Irene Tedrow. Najee is Lillian Baev. Your announcer is Howard Culver. The makers of White King invite you to listen tomorrow at this time when the story resumes. Chandu the Magician. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.